This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A strike turns deadly in South Africa.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. More than 30 workers have been killed by police at a platinum mine in South Africa. The workers, some of whom were armed, were staging what police said was an illegal strike. For the latest, let's bring in reporter Gretchen Wilson, who is in Johannesburg. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, bring us up to date on what has happened in this mine.
Yes, this is really a national tragedy. South Africa's police minister says that now 35 people at least were killed in the shootout between police and illegally striking miners in Rustenburg, which is outside of Johannesburg. This is a huge story here, and it's the worst death toll by police since apartheid ended in 1994. So the entire country is really looking to this mine and wondering what exactly happened.
And why were these strikers striking in the first place?
Well, the strike began last Friday when rock drill operators put their tools down and they said they were demanding an increase of about $1,000 a month. That's really twice what they've been making. The bosses responded to their demands by saying that they weren't willing to negotiate until the end of their two-year contract. And that's when workers basically walked out of the job and sat down and have been basically camped out on a mountaintop with machetes and clubs for the last week.
And Gretchen, give us the economic context here. How important is the platinum industry there in South Africa?
Platinum is huge here. It makes South Africa the biggest economy in Africa. But platinum prices have been falling. And platinum producers say that it's not as easy and not as profitable to take platinum out of the ground. This particular company reported earnings of $1.9 billion last year. But it's not really clear what's going to happen in the future, especially with this strike action. One analyst I spoke to says this is actually part of a bigger story, that this is about the ruling party, the African National Congress's growing alliance with big business. And he says it's also a symptom of the decline of the labor movement. The biggest labor federation here has been closely aligned with the African National Congress, but it seems as if that striking workers might down their tools a bit more often if the labor movement doesn't seem to truly reflect their needs.
Reporter Gretchen Wilson in Johannesburg, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, in Illinois today, unionized workers at a Caterpillar plant will vote on a contract to end a four-month strike, a strike that has put the state's governor in an awkward position, as Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reports.
Early this week, Governor Pat Quinn was shaking hands and pledging support for striking machinists outside a Caterpillar plant in Joliet. Caterpillar's been pressing for wage and other concessions, and Quinn handed over a check to help support the machinists, who vote today on a new contract. But 2 days later,
at the state fairgrounds, hundreds of chanting, uninvited union members crashed the Democrats' Governor's Day picnic.
Quinn got booed by unionized state workers, upset over his own attempts to wring concessions from public employees. It's part of Quinn's efforts to plug the state's budget shortfall.
A Democratic governor can't really do that and still at the same time be seen as being loyal to his base.
That's Northwestern University political science professor Kenneth Janna. Quinn's not the only governor facing budget woes. Consider California and New York, both led by Democrats. Steve Smith is a spokesman for California Labor Federation.
There's a common misconception at play, which is that if a governor of a state happens to be a Democrat, that Democrat is going to agree 100% of the time with labor on everything, and that's just not the case.
Quinn and his counterparts in New York and California perhaps have the luxury of squaring off against unions this year. None of them is up for re-election. I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.7% in Hong Kong, 0.3% right now in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 85 points to close at 13,250.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Well, it's Friday, which for some people means it is casual Friday. Maybe a button-down shirt and some khakis. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has the strange story of how that became the casual Friday uniform.
Our story starts in 1966 when the Hawaiian garment industry was trying to sell more shirts. Their answer?
It's Aloha Friday.
No work till Monday.
Mufi Hanuman, the former mayor of Honolulu, was a kid when Aloha Fridays first launched. He says what began as a gimmick to wear Hawaiian shirts to the office once a week became a cultural statement.
Don't take yourself too seriously and don't get caught up in the rat race. Relax.
Cut to the recession of the early 1990s. Aloha Fridays had drifted to the mainland in the form of casual Fridays, and they'd become a perfect no-cost perk for strapped companies trying to make their employees feel more relaxed. Just not too relaxed.
We found when guys shed their coats and ties.
Rick Miller was doing PR for the Levi's brand Dockers back then.
People were showing up in the Hawaiian print shirt or sandals and shorts. Frankly, there were concerns on the part of management that work might become too much fun.
What management saw as a concern, Levi's saw as a way to save itself. Jean sales were slowing now that baby boomers were getting older. So in 1992, Miller's team had an idea. They printed up a guide to casual business wear and sent it to 25,000 human resource managers across the country.
That showed different business casual looks.
And surprise, a lot of them involved Dockers.
Like how to match a button-down with a pair of Dockers and a nice pair of loafers.
Dockers sponsored in-office fashion shows and a hotline for dress code emergencies. Soon, they were everywhere.
Dockers was considered revolutionary.
Terry Agins writes in her book, The End of Fashion, about visiting an executive at Alcoa and being shocked by his outfit.
Slacks, cashmere V-neck sweater. Looked like he was there like on a Saturday, but actually this was a regular work day.
Of course, 20 years later, Dockers doesn't seem quite as revolutionary. Jennifer Say is a VP for global marketing at Dockers.
We're aware. We've become the uniform of the cubicle dweller, the guy who doesn't care.
But she says they're fighting that stigma with something called the Alpha Khaki. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Well, go to our website, marketplace.org, and let us know what casual Fridays look like at your workplace. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.